Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I am here today with my friend, Dr. Craig Gingrich-Philbrook, and Craig and I decided that we've been having some good conversations in this election season, and so we are now post at least the election day, but not the process. So we thought we would come back and just kind of check in with ourselves, each other, all of you, to say, how's it going? How is it going in terms of managing your self? Being mindful, present to the moment without judgment in this continuing election season. And of course, even if we knew all the results, we would still be thinking about kind of the question that I've been asking myself, which is what comes next, regardless of the outcome of the election. So, Craig, thanks for joining me today. It's great to see you.
Oh, vice versa, and you are welcome.
Great. So we like to start with breathing because it is calming and focusing. It kind of helps us bring ourselves back into the moment, back into our bodies, back into an awareness of where our minds are at and how we feel in our bodies. So, Craig, you're going to join me today for 3 deep breaths? Okay. So if you would, folks, do you want to remember to hold the breath or pause at the top of the inhalation? Try to make your exhalation a little bit longer than the inhalation. And then we're going to use Lori Cameron, who's a wonderful mindfulness educator, her strategy, which is cleverly called 3 deep breaths. And in that first breath, we want to focus on our breathing only, just the sensation of the air entering and exiting our body. Second, we want to focus on any place in our body where we're feeling tension. I'm really just super aware of all the tension I'm feeling right at the moment. And then in that third breath, just set our intention for this hour. What do you need to feel present and aware and without judgment in this next hour? So, 3 deep breaths. First breath, just pay attention to your breathing. Second breath, relax any place you feel tension. And third breath, just set your intention for this hour. Okay, so Craig, I thought we would start by just talking about where we are right now, both in terms of our own reactions and mindfulness in response to the election, and also how we see what's happening with the election in general from our individual perspectives. So you want to start? How's it going?
It's going okay. You know, I've had days like a lot of folks, I imagine. You know, yesterday was hard. I was able to kind of get to a kind of neutral place, you know, as someone working with anxiety and depression historically. Mm-hmm. This pause, mm-hmm. you know, before mm-hmm. any kind of real knowledge about what will happen with the person that I believe to be an abusive patriarch mm-hmm. And his control over many of our lives, you know, it has been challenging. Mm-hmm. But I think mindfulness and various mindfulness strategies have sort of helped me be relatively neutral compared to what I would have been without them.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I feel similarly, but I know that I have struggled. Tuesday, I didn't expect And I said this last week on the show, I have to tell myself, of course we're not going to know. We're not going to know. And it was easier, it turns out, no surprise, to say, I know we're not going to know on Tuesday. We may not know on Wednesday. Same for Thursday. Then to be in the middle of Thursday and feel like things are going in the direction I would hope they would go, but certainly not there, certainly no guarantees. And but it has enforced, or maybe allowed, because I can't just react to the results. I am noticing what's happening in a lot of different conversations, in a lot of different spaces, to be able to say, oh, yeah, here are some issues that we're still going to be talking about regardless of who wins or regardless of any of the outcomes. Yeah.
Yes.
But I on Tuesday night, I, realizing I was not going to know, I went to bed because listening to people talking about it was not, I didn't feel good. So, right. Yesterday, yeah. I felt a little bit more like I did as a kid. It just really glued to the TV because it was a little bit more of a moment-to-moment change. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't a bad thing. But, I'm still thinking hard about it and still trying to stay present. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same.
Same. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I spent more time on Tuesday night than I would have liked looking at the CNN graphic.
Right.
And, you know, when I finally kind of got a handle on that, mm-hmm. I did just go to sleep, and I slept as well as could be expected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of that through breathing and through reminding myself that, it was all going to still be there in the morning and that the feelings of concern that I had, I could observe and I didn't have to identify with. I didn't have to be those feelings. I could sort of watch them pass through me, so to speak.
Yes.
And at the same time, trying to, honor history and think about the fact that, much of the anxiety that I have around these issues comes from, legit experiences.
Right.
And that, my body got used to. And so as much as anything else, breathing and noticing what's happening in my body helped me not simply have those same kind of adrenalized bodily experiences of uncertainty and lack of control,
mm-hmm.
But to instead go, hey, I'm having that experience. Is that something I want to be having?
Right.
Is there another kind of thing I can do?
Mm-hmm.
And turns out really not so much. I mean, I can make sandwiches and do dishes and clean the aquarium and things like that. But, higher order cognitive tasks, maybe, this is not the time to be, doing that for me.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Tuesday night when I realized we were so far from really knowing, I could go into my room and read a book. Yesterday, same book, still a good book, couldn't read it. Yeah, but that's just not where I was, and that's okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been reading some stuff about postmodern performance, and which I love, as you know.
Right.
So some of that, it's like yes, and then it gets a little abstracting, but I have to kind of put it down, and breathe, and keep going.
Yeah. And there are a lot of races, and this is one of the things we've talked about a little bit, is noticing places where already there are causes for concern and there are reasons to be happy. And so, yeah, there are some races that I find very disappointing. Maybe my expectations were a little out of line. I don't know. That's okay. It's okay to have wanted things to be more different than they are. But there are some wins. I really know that one of the conversations that I think has changed in response to this election is the reminder that local races really matter.
Yes.
So I'm very aware of what happened, not just in the state of Washington, my county, in the city. Referendums on the ballot, places where I really feel good about things that have changed and that are moving forward, as well as kind of a process thing. I think this election has opened up a window into how votes are counted around the country. My goodness, right? And so we're having interesting conversations. I'd never really thought about, until I lived in Washington, the experience of having the ballot come to your house, right? And I think about all the times I've voted and I've gotten into a voting booth and there's a kind of time pressure because people are waiting. And I look at the judges and I think, oh, I don't know, right? Or there's a referendum that I didn't read about. The ballots in my kitchen, along with this beautiful booklet produced by the county and another one by the state. And hey, I have the time. I'm going to go and read about them. One, we had a referendum that I'd read some news articles about and I did not know. I could not make heads or tails of which of the what to do with it. And then I read the pamphlet. Oh, now I know. Now I mean, to vote with that level of confidence, it was really lovely. And so I think we're having new conversations about how we vote and how we count votes. Yeah.
Right.
There's value
for that. And who gets to have that convenience, right?
Yes.
And who gets to have that security when, you know, we have, well, you know, I'm a kind of a political person, you know, so I will just say this, you know, when we have a president who will disparage mail-in voting, but exercise it.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not a government thing to do.
Yeah. I think we're finally, maybe in some corners, a little bit over that kind of hypocrisy.
I think so.
Right. Yeah. And go ahead. Sorry.
And that's good.
You know,
and I think your theme that lots of good things happened. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the things that sort of got me through. You know, when we think about gratitude practice as a way of centering and kind of getting out of that, you know, doom scrolling, as you know, people call it, right, on social media, you know, and just everyone sharing all the good stories,
right,
and, you know, pictures of their cat or, you know, whatever, to just kind of get people out of that, or that beautiful map that was going around about where you could and could not own a kangaroo.
I saw that map.
To sort of create a different kind of map, more ludic, playful way of looking at a map, right? And watching all my friends sharing that.
Mm-hmm. And loving that.
I can't go in Illinois if I meet certain restrictions. I need to figure out what those are.
That's so good to know.
I'm not going to keep a kangaroo in my house. Don't be intense enough.
Yes. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, let's move on with that theme of what are some of the great things that we're noticing? How is it changing some conversations we imagine we'll have in the future? And again, that kind of theme of what's next. Okay, thanks to everybody for joining us today on Nothing But Now, where I'm talking to Craig Gingrich Philbrook about how we're processing the election and how we're staying present and mindful in this moment. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the many women in the world who've carried the burdens of work and family with the added circumstance of the pandemic? You are not alone. Join Mary Rose Campbell with five other powerful women on Saturday, December 5th, starting at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, for the International Conference on Resilience for Women, as they share what they've learned to create power for themselves under any circumstance. Get your tickets now at resilientwomensconference.com.
I have had such a good time on Tales from the Merworld Radio. It has been an opportunity for me to expand myself so dramatically and become much braver in my voice to speak about the things that I'm passionate about that are a little bit out there. Your staff is amazing. Olivia is amazing. Jessica, everybody. Anytime I need anything, they show up right away. So thank you for having such an amazing team that is allowing me this platform to do what Spirit wants me to do.
Are you tired of being bloated and nauseous? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know eating unhealthy foods eventually leads to an unhealthy digestive system? Did you know eating the most healthy, nutritious food doesn't necessarily result in a healthy body? The stomach must be healthy in order to properly digest, metabolize, and utilize even the best of nutrition. Without proper digestion from the stomach through the intestinal tract, the nutritious value is not absorbed, and the improperly digested food can be more toxic to your body than helpful. You can be doing all the right things and getting all the wrong results. In fact, other organs may also be interfering with your stomach's ability to digest. With CRA, we are able to determine the specific cause of the digestive issue and use the proper nutrition to correct the imbalance. Contact us today for your appointment at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
If you struggle with fear and anxiety, you know how powerless and stuck these emotions can make you feel. You've tried everything, but nothing helped you overcome these blocks. Dr. Friedman Schaub, award-winning author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, created a special program which helped thousands of his clients to become healthy, happy, and confident again. Learn how to eliminate negative self-talk, let go of your emotional baggage, and replace limiting beliefs. With Dr. Friedman's accelerated program, you can break through your challenges. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Daniel from intuitionwisdom.com.
And I'm Dr. Pat. We've got something super special. What a generous gift. Wow.
It's time to discover who you really are, and we're offering a free intuitive reading on our website at intuitionwisdom.com. All you got to do is take the step to become one with the universe, and the life purpose is that bridge. So please come to our website, intuitionwisdom.com.
That's intuitionwisdom.com. Life purpose unlocks abundance.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm here with Craig Gingrich-Philbrook, and we're talking about the election and how we are staying mindful, present to the moment without judgment in this time that is filled with all sorts of judgments. I think it's a particular kind of challenge, this moment, to mindfulness. And I was saying at the break, you know, I feel a little bit subdued still. I think it's, as I mentioned to Craig, it's been raining for a couple of days here in the Pacific Northwest. I know, Mary Angela, it's November, get used to it. So I'll work on that. But also still feeling a little bit suspended in time and space about what's happening. So Craig, how are you feeling like right now, other than being on this show, how are you doing?
Well, I think, you know, the thing I've been thinking a lot about is that feeling, you know, as a of pause in the body.
Yeah.
Because it feels to me like, you know, many of us feel like we're facing a kind of existential threat.
Right.
And I think particularly, you know, if you think about folks who've had, you know, adverse childhood experiences or trauma in their life in some way, mm-hmm. that feeling of kind of an uptick in the if you think about the kind of low grade anxiety all of the time, mm-hmm. you know, that there's that sort of this kind of uptick right now with no clear end point.
Right.
And how similar that is to something like a loved one being in an accident and, you know, being taken to the hospital and wondering if they're going to survive, or mm-hmm. a natural disaster, or, you know, having to flee a domestic violence situation and kind of not knowing what's going to happen.
Right? Yes.
And so I think particularly if, you know, we're feeling that sense of threat, partially because of some of those experiences and how people have treated us, mm-hmm. and how those kind of overlap or echo some of the decisions and actions of this administration, we're kind of moving into this multi-layered bodily place that's very familiar, mm-hmm. that can kick in a kind of fight or flight mentality.
Yes.
And we get to honor how we came by that, right? That fight or flight response system, you know, that's a gift from our ancestors.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. But we don't have to run from the saber-toothed tiger so much. But we do have to try to, I think, mm-hmm. Ethically support the people around us, you know, who are in danger, even if we aren't ourselves.
Right.
And so that takes a physical toll, mm-hmm. to suppress that anxiety, or to, you know, just noting it flow through. You know, you can be in a, you know, if you're in a sandstorm and you go, I'm in a sandstorm, you know, it's still tearing at you, right?
Yes.
You know, the sandstorm is going.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so those things are there, mm-hmm. and they're in the body, and just trying to attend to them, mm-hmm. and experiment with other choices rather than feeling like, I should be making another choice. I should be better. I shouldn't be having these feelings anymore. I'm a bad person for having these feelings now. When am I going to get this? No.
Right. Yeah. I mean, let me just jump in. That's I think, so much what Tara Brach and her work on RAIN, you know, recognize, acknowledge. She used to talk about it, the third step is investigate before non-attachment. But, you know, to recognize the sandstorm, yeah. Right? To acknowledge, yeah, I feel a little low. But I think what's been really helpful for me in that process is that third step of investigate. And you mentioned this, of this comes from a real place. And I ask myself sometimes in a difficult moment, when have I felt this before? And knowing that there were those moments that it was a little bit more like facing a saber-toothed tiger, right? Or an angry parent or another kind of difficult situation. Like, oh, I come by this honestly, and that I can respect myself mm-hmm. for having that feeling, as opposed to criticizing myself for having it, before I get to that capacity to say, okay, and in this moment, I don't have to attach to that feeling. I don't. I can, I might, I have in the past. And I think another thing that I like about what you said is, you know, once we get into that space where we're saying to ourselves, I shouldn't feel this way anymore. What's wrong with me? Why do I still feel this way? I shouldn't. Wait, that word should is such a great red flag, right? When I start knocking on my psyche's door with that, or banging on it with that word, you should not do X, Y, or Z, or feel X, Y, or Z. That's a great time to say, oh, wait a minute. I know this feeling. I know this experience. And give yourself some grace in this moment.
Mm-hmm. I've watched friends express anxiety online and have mutual friends say, well, you know, just go work on an essay and take your mind off of it. And I totally know what's happening there. That's their coping mechanism.
Right.
And so they're trying to help us by helping themselves. Mm-hmm. And those two things, I think, can both be authentic at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so rather than kind of turning that on the self, you know, with a big should, to say, right. you know, and or to think, oh, they're indicting me, they're,
right.
you know, I'm, you know,
yeah.
that place, to say, oh, here's an interesting possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could experiment with that and see what that's like.
Yeah. Here's how my friend copes. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, rather than kind of beating myself up about it, or deciding this person is undervaluing me, or this person right. is, you know, not worth continuing to be attached to.
Right, because they're not really listening, they're not really getting it. Yeah,
they are themselves doing the best they can with what they have.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, that's always such an important thing to remember, and it's hard. And I think, you know, we'll turn to this a little bit as we get into this post-election place of the idea that people really are doing the best they can when sometimes their best looks pretty ratty. Mm. And to have an attitude to maintain, or try to maintain an attitude of loving kindness towards them. And I wanted to introduce a couple of things that people have said to me online in the Facebook post. So my friend Josie, I loved her complete honesty when I asked about how are people dealing with this. And she said, well, I've watched two rom-coms and eaten a bar of chocolate. And I thought those were really good choices. But she did. For her, it was also an expression of stress. So I hope that she is giving herself grace for those choices, because they were what helped her to cope in that moment. And then a mutual friend of ours, Thad, mentioned his concerns, I think, that, you know, the election ending doesn't really end a lot of other things. It doesn't end COVID. It doesn't end racial discrimination and systemic racism in our society. And his other concern, which I wanted to mention to you and see if we could talk about, is he uses the word othering with that capital O, right? And how is it that how will we ever get past that treating the other in that very, I don't know, non-humane way of seeing people who disagree with us as you said just now, not worth continuing our conversation with. Yeah. So what are either about, in response to Thad's comments, or Josie's, if you've been watching rom-coms, what are you, are you thinking about? Pardon me?
I've been watching a lot of Doctor Who.
Oh, there you go. Also an excellent choice. What are you thinking about with this post-election moment?
I've been thinking a lot about the othering and you know, given our background and our personal communication and stuff, Gregory Bateson's idea of schismogenesis, you know, these little break, you know, in a relationship, and you make it sort of bigger and bigger and withdraw and withdraw. And, you know, my first impulse on, you know, waking up the day after and seeing, you know, what, at least at what, at that time looked like a, you know, just this, to my mind, unacceptable, you know, re-ratification of this president's agenda. And my first impulse was, I'm not doing business with anyone in any of those states. I'm not traveling to those states. We need to call for boycotts of Kentucky because if they're not going to get McConnell out, you know, like that kind of thing, right? You know, up along, you know, what folks were doing with Arizona around Martin Luther King Day and, and apartheid concerns and stuff. So, you know, back when we were kids.
And so, all those years ago.
So, you know, that feeling, right? And just kind of watching, you know, our friend, Reverend Scott Dillard, kind of talk people back. There are no red states and blue states.
Yes.
There are people in all of these states. There are different people in all of these states.
Yes.
You know, Brene Brown's idea of it's hard to hate people up close.
Yes. Right?
Just kind of trying to get to this place where I've been, rather than trying to figure out how to get back at those places,
right?
How I might identify businesses that are progressive, owned by, you know, Black, Indigenous people of color, women, et cetera, and champion them and share them with people, right? To empower those businesses in their communities as changers.
Oh, I love that. And I think that that, a comment I saw right after the election was from somebody in Kentucky saying, how do you think, and we're just, you know, clear about our politics, how do you think progressives in Kentucky feel?
Yes.
Pretty bad.
Yes.
So, yes. And of course, our friend Scott lives in Georgia. And so I think looking for empowering people in those places with whom we agree and whose work is diligent and important, I mean, transformational. And I think that's speaks to a larger question too, that as whites, I think you and I want to be quick to acknowledge to the extent that this election goes the way we want it to, it's because African-American people, Black people, people of color in this country have made it happen. They've made it happen. And
showed up despite historical concerns about Biden.
Absolutely.
And show up. And I think your interview series demonstrates that, you know, and really helps, you know, is, I think it's been part of exposed me to people kind of from all around the country who've grown up, you know, with these sort of similar conditions, you know, and certainly in addition to the, you know, the people, you know, who I love and read and so on, you know, that's, I think that's one of the reasons that that work is so important, you know, and why I love this episode so much. I'll just kind of say that.
Thank you. And I look forward to getting back to it because I do think that that's, you know, my gratitude is based in part on, as you said, for a Black person in America to recognize that maybe Joe Biden has not always been the best candidate for Black Americans, but they showed up anyway, even though the Democratic Party hasn't always been the best party for African Americans, right? Their willingness to show up despite how they have been treated and continue to be treated, I think gratitude is a small word. To try to convey how I feel for that. So, hey, we're going to take a break and come back and talk about this going back to these larger issues of community and solidarity out there. And so, yeah, you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be right back.
Hello, friends. I am Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and here is your soul-stretching success tip of the day. Two very important and life-changing words, I am. I have an alphabet game I wanted to share with you today. Start with the letter A and come up with as many positive words as you can think of and place those affirmative I am words before them. For example, I am abundant. move to the letter B and do the same thing. I am beautiful, and so on. This requires you to actually focus on coming up with positive words and learn to state your affirmations with conviction, validation, and focus. Begin to say them numerous times a day. Learn to say them with feeling and belief, and you will begin to see your confidence, your focus, and your self-worth evolve. Hope you have a beautiful, successful day, and I'll see you next time.
So how do you value your self-worth? Join Dr. Pat and Sabrina Wright as they introduce Sabrina's holistic approach to self-care and inner peace. Get empowered to make decisions for yourself. Change your view of your own value and learn the tools for investing in who you're designed to be. Live the good life every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on The Dr. Pat Show featuring Sabrina Wright. To learn more, visit sabrinaiswright.com.
Message delivery by Lisa Ann. You can't make this stuff up. Tune in every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Message Delivery is an inspirational show about the journey to enlightenment and spirituality. For more information or your own personal message delivery, visit angelmessagestoyou.com. That's Angel Messages, the number two, the letter U.com.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time. Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm here with my guest, Craig Gingrich Philbrook, and Craig and I are talking about this time we're living through post-election day, but not post-election. And we've been talking in this last segment about what we're noticing that still really matters, that's still really a challenge in the wake of Election Day. And I've just been thinking about and reading about all the ways that I think conversations are radically changing in contemporary society. I just want to give a couple of examples. And an article I read today was by a woman who is I think she's actually from Cuba, but she's also an American citizen. And I say that hesitantly. I don't want to jump to the word Latina or Latinx, because her argument is that that's such an unhelpful word, as is Hispanic. And the unhelpful piece is that it lumps people from many different countries at many different times in their life, either they're from the country, their parents, their grandparents. Maybe they've always been from this country, and it's not that they moved, but the border moved. Right, they may or may not speak Spanish. They're black, white, brown. Right, all of these differences, but we say Latina. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to read the article because, of course, it's hard for her to even talk about the topic without using the word in exactly the way she doesn't want it to be used. But so this isn't a criticism of any kind of logical inconsistency on her part, but really gratitude for the conversation. Another place, and I think people who are of Asian descent have similar kinds of conversations about, my gosh, the differences between being either in terms of ethnicity, ancestry, or immediately from China versus Vietnam versus Thailand, right? These are all very distinct cultures and backgrounds. So I think that is a conversation that is really important. And what's most important about it, I thought, and it was the point that she was making, is who's making these kind of broad categories? mostly whites, and maybe for kind of meaningful reasons like demographics, but not really helpful reasons. So we make the categories and then we deploy the categories, and they continue to be problematic because as a white person, I lack the knowledge maybe or to understand the nuances. So what's the real problem? Is that there aren't more people of her, similar to her background, in working in these various fields or in journalism, people who can bring the nuance to the conversation. And I think that is really an important thing that's changing, is who is in the conversation, not just to represent, but to drive the conversation. To say, here's what's important. Here's what needs to be rethought. And for whites to increasingly to be able to be willing to finally take a back seat in those conversations, right? I don't have to be an expert, but so that's one thing that I've really been thinking about a lot and I think is very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important to surrender this sort of European anthropological notion, mm-hmm. right? Where, that white folks are somehow observing other cultures, yes. and making sense of them and, categorizing right. them and, mm-hmm. acting like, and I don't mean to disparage the field of anthropology and, I think that, lots of really interesting work precisely around these questions are being done there, but I just mean in the historical sense, mm-hmm. It's critical that we do that.
Yeah, that it's somehow not really appropriate anymore, if it ever was, for mm-hmm. us to be the ones who decide the categories and how to make sense of the categories and what mm-hmm. to do with the categories. That those days are over, and all to the good. Mm-hmm. People know what they need. But if you don't ever ask them, and if you don't, and in fact, I'm not even me for me to ask, right? But right. for people to be in positions where they make those decisions and determinations, and not that that won't be complicated and challenging, yeah. right? Because it will. But yeah, so that's one thing I've been thinking about. What are some things you've been thinking about?
Oh, I think so much of the work that I've done in performance or my writing has really been around LGBTQ mm-hmm. visibility, politics,
right. that sort of thing.
And I've carried around a good bit of hurt, devastation, what do you want to call it? The feeling of kind of being torn apart by the silences of some of my friends and family, around this issue. And I've expended a lot of energy trying to maintain relationships with them mm-hmm. when I just don't feel like they're in it for us. Mm-hmm. They might say that they are, but they don't do that. Or right. they do it in a kind of personal exceptionalism way, like for me, or another mutual friend, mm-hmm. or something like that, but not at the level of public discourse. I don't have to pretend that that doesn't hurt me anymore. There's something about this election that just allows me to put that hurt down. Mm. And not in a petulant way, and not okay. in an I'm never going to speak to you again way or anything like that, but really more in the sense of letting that energy come back to me, mm-hmm. right? So just, letting it come back from the storm mm-hmm. of the times, right? And, picking it up like an animal that comes home from a hurricane, in a hurricane. Beloved creature that you're worried about, and just kind of picking it up and taking it in, and me and my energy are going to do other things besides pretend that we're not hurt or that hurt has to be the center. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think that means? I think, one of the words I wrote down earlier in our conversation was consequences. And I know people are talking some about, let's say, if the presidency changes, are there consequences? And I don't want to live in a culture where we punish people for how they voted. I don't think that's particularly helpful. At the same time, there are consequences for people's choices. And that's what I hear in what you're saying, is that you're not going to pretend not to be hurt anymore. Mm-hmm. How will that change, or what will the consequences of that mean be for those relationships?
I think they won't try so hard.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Change their mind. Mm-hmm. And that sounds counterintuitive in a way. I know I've been really influenced by Buckminster Fuller, and I think, you know, he talks about, you know, sometimes you can't solve a longstanding problem, you know, kind of within the traditional matrix of possibilities or options or decisions or ways of understanding it. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of have to change the conditions that make the problem rather than get people to change their orientation to the problem.
Right.
And so I think, you know, for me, if I think about consequences, you know, I don't want to go out in the world with a flaming sword of justice right now. I've had that impulse in the past. But I don't, that's not kind of where I am right now. If by flaming sword we mean something that's going to smite people.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And because I think if you look at their lives, mm-hmm. often the consequences for their beliefs are right there in front of you. And right there in front of them, mm-hmm. in their estrangement from family members, mm-hmm. you know,
right. And
that sometimes they may be taking it out on a group because of rejection, you know, by somebody or whatever, and just kind of going about the business of humanizing people, mm-hmm. Can be helpful all around. Mm-hmm. Right? So I think that's a little bit of where I am now. How I will be able to manifest that mm-hmm. In any kind of permanent or durable way mm-hmm. is an open question. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to try to, you know, as I say to myself, you know, honor your intention.
Right.
And get back on track with something. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like I have to be critical of that impulse, you know, because there's an awful lot of, calls for civility or, you know, whatever. And those can mute real issues and real critiques.
Right.
And we have to be so cautious not to confuse trying to meet people where they are and help them see how they're, you know, precipitating their own alienation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Without psychologizing them.
Right.
You know, that's hard enough, right? If I, you know, then say, you know, I need you to, you know, do a giant mea culpa, you know,
right.
or something like that. I don't know that they're going to embrace the possibility of change, you know, in quite the same way.
Yeah, I don't, I think about the people in my own life that I have similar kinds of challenges with, and I agree with you, I don't see the value in trying to punish them, I don't see anything productive coming out of that, but not wanting to punish someone is not the same as saying there are no consequences for these differences between us. I don't know, there's a woman I follow on Twitter, her handle is Design Mom. And her first name is Gabrielle, and I can't remember her last name, but she is a genius. And she writes really, really beautiful threads about this. And she talks about sort of letting go of, whether it's followers on Twitter or other places, letting go of relationships where she feels that her values are compromised by maintaining that relationship.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do it in a spirit of punishment. I do want to, in fact, if I have to let go of a relationship, I want to bring an attitude of loving kindness and not judgment to it. At the same time, I do think it's okay to say we've reached the limit. We've reached the limit of who we can be to each other. And that's okay. And I wish you well. Yeah. And I wish you peace and health. But I can't. Yeah, there are consequences.
Can I release the relationship in the spirit of you know, Moses' mother putting the reed basket down into the river.
Beautiful.
For them, you know, and, but not feel like I can do it, or that it's my, you know, my ultimate responsibility to fix them.
Right.
It's a pretty inflationary sense of the self that we would be going around diagnosing everyone.
Right.
You know, and deciding if they needed to be fixed.
Right.
You know, but to instead, you know, to kind of move the locus of judgment out of the other person. If we're, you know, if we're talking about relationships, right?
Yeah.
And think about it instead from the standpoint of what allows me to be the most efficacious in this situation. If it's continuing to wrestle, you know, with my, you know, with a cousin or an uncle, that's not the same thing as trying to change a congressional representative's mind.
Right.
That's not the same thing as, you know, trying to help the people who are harmed by that congressional representative's policies.
Right.
Right. And so trying to move to the efficacious, you know, and the possibility rather than a kind of, you know, dogged insistence, you know, that this person, tell me the magic words I want to hear. Because
right.
I'm not sure I know what those are.
Yeah. And and for me, when I'm in that place, I also recognize that sometimes, you know, what am I doing when I'm saying I need you to change in order for me to feel okay about myself?
Yeah.
Right. I need you to change the way you talk about this topic. I need, because it says something about how I feel about myself. I mean, it's just all that kind of mirroring and bouncing back and forth. And I just want to let go of that because I want to let go of the idea that I need you to change in order for me to be okay. That's right. Regardless of what the topic is, that's just a bad place. And it's not a place of integrity for me. So I don't want to dwell there. But that might mean letting go of particular relationships. If the only thing that keeps us engaged is that that disagreement, that deep disagreement.
And again, this is in the context of personal relationships.
Yes.
Right. You know, a person is advocating that X group of people, you know, go to an internment camp.
Right.
You bet I want to change that person.
Right. Well, I want to change that person in the in the sense that I want someone else to be in that role rather than the person who believes that.
Right. That's a really good point.
Yeah, because I probably don't think I can change that person's mind. But I do live in a democracy still. I'm very convinced of that. And I think people can be voted out of office. I still believe in that.
So. I can't change their mind by myself.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I can change maybe what they have the power to do.
Yeah.
And I this is just as we kind of move towards the end of our show, just thinking about the positive of what work do you think you still have to do? Or not that there isn't a lifetime or two or threes of work, but what are some things that you're thinking about will continue to matter to you in ways that you hope to continue to engage, regardless of where we are a week from now in terms of the election?
I think, you know, if I were to say, you know, what issues I want to focus on, I think the whole notion of the private prison, you know, the school to prison pipeline, you know, all of that, it's profiting on the rhetoric of difference.
Yes.
And criminalizing difference, or framing difference as itself as criminal.
Right.
And I think an ancillary of that is the detention centers. You know, it's overwhelming that people voted for this person, you know, who incarcerated all of these people, stripped children from their families, and with no eye toward returning them. Without a proper, you know, just to do so, just the will to do so, and interrupting that will and critiquing that will and trying to help people see that they have this will to punish without exercising that will to punish them is, I think, you know, the big mm-hmm. paradox.
Yes. You know,
of what comes next.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, there is so much hurt and anger that is driving hurtful, angry behavior. It's unbelievable to me. Yeah. And I'm very concerned about and wondering, I think some of the responses to the recent Supreme Court appointment are really pointing to working at the local level, at the state level around bodily autonomy issues and reproductive rights. But that's, we can't count on anybody else but ourselves. And I think there are lots of ways, productive ways to work in that area. And I think it's urgent. Because to just rely on one Supreme Court decision is foolhardy, right? And it's a terrible wedge issue. It's been distorted in so many different ways. So many ugly, untrue things have been said. So there's lots of work to do. There's other kinds of ways in which I'm thinking about that at the local level. But I also thought we could talk a little bit as we wind up here about what bright spots are you seeing? Where are places where you would say, I feel a lot of gratitude for what's happening right now, too?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things, you know, which could be a transition in some ways from what we were just talking about into this idea of gratitude would be thinking about, you know, someone like Cori Bush, who rises up out of the Ferguson uprisings,
right.
Tries for elected office a couple times, and just, you know, now is elected, does the work, and, you know, I guess I would put it this way, does the work of losing without relenting in order to succeed.
Ugh.
And in each of those attempts frames, the understanding of the issue, you know, for, you know, people in her district, you know, by offering better arguments.
Yeah, right. So, classic.
And it's going off to Congress. I mean, that's amazing. You know, the squad all getting reelected.
Yeah, wasn't that exciting?
It's so wonderful, especially because, you know, particularly Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, right? You know, I'm so used to saying AOC. That Trump demonized them so much, much. And the people said, no.
Nope, not true. Not true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we get to have the beautiful discourse that all of these women offer, you know, in their Twitter accounts and in their public appearances that holds power accountable. And I think they're going to be just as eloquent about that with Biden as they were with Trump.
Absolutely.
I embrace that.
I do too. Yep. I think that's a really great point. And it's very exciting to see them now in a second term, even, you know, more mature, more aware of how things work, better able. I don't know. My favorite person in the squad is Ayanna Pressley. She is, I hope I live long enough to vote for her for president one day. She is so amazing. So yeah, there are a lot of bright spots, and the reason I titled today's show "The Sun Came Up Today" is that's just the reality of the situation. Although I can't really see it today here in the Pacific Northwest, but we had an election. I'm grateful to live in a country that I think still has freeish and fairish elections, and I think this is all the counting is just what we need to be doing, and I'm grateful for that as well. And I am hopeful, not just about the outcome or any particular outcome, but that the system is continuing to move forward, even in its all of its imperfections. Mm-hmm. Anything else you'd like to mention today?
Just that we, you know, I think we get to continue to work on some of those imperfections, you know, like dismantling the Electoral College.
Right.
Or getting legislation passed that replaces the Voting Rights Act.
Yes.
It's so clear from all of these voter suppression efforts that the overturning or the dismantling of the Voting Rights Act was ideological, as we knew, and it's had consequences that we feared.
Right.
You know, and we're still surmounting them.
Yes, but we can see them clearly. And I think those two conversations are ones that have never been more fully articulated than, especially the Electoral College one, we don't really talk about very often in any meaningful way, but that's really a substantive conversation now. So, well, Craig, thank you for joining me today. I feel a little better. I was feeling a little low. I feel a little better. So thank you for that. And folks, I hope that you will join me next week here on Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, where we will continue to talk about mindfulness and incorporating it into our daily lives so that we can have more peace in ourselves and bring more peace into the world. So take care of yourselves, take care of your mind, and be kind to yourself. Bye-bye. You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.